Good morning. I'm going to open with a story. Actually, it was a true story, but it goes along with the wicked tenants in the Bible. We've been talking about wickedness last week, and we're going to continue talking about the wicked because we're in a season of extreme unrest, uncertainty, terrorism, and things have happened this last week that you couldn't even make up, right? And we've talked about the beginning of sorrows and the storm is here. So today we want to continue to try to understand about the wicked. And the wicked have always been here. Remember the first act of wickedness? Cain rose up and killed Abel. And in the wicked tenants in Matthew 21 talks about the wicked tenants. And we're not going to go into that whole parable, but it's a good one to read. It's the parable of the wicked tenants. And there's a story about this man. He was a very successful businessman. And this builder built fine homes in an upscale American suburb. And he was known as being very creative, a shrewd businessman, a fair-minded employer. And he was very, very generous. But he was aging now. And before he set out for Florida for the winter, he approached his top superintendent and told him that he was retiring. So he said, "I want you to build me a home, the finest home this company has ever built. Spare no expense, use the finest materials, employ the most gifted tradesmen, and build me a masterpiece before I come home next spring." Well, the next day, the superintendent set out to build that home, but not exactly to orders. If his boss was retiring, that meant he would be losing his job. So he needed to pad his own savings account, lest he be destitute. He ordered inferior concrete blocks for the foundation, but charged the builder for the premium blocks, and he pocketed the difference. The superintendent hired inexperienced carpenters, plumbers, electricians, roofers, and landscapers, but he charged his boss wages that would be paid to master craftsmen and put the difference in his own bank account. He installed cheap appliances. We know what that's like. They installed cheap appliances and lighting, insufficient insulation, inferior carpet, and drafty windows. And he skimmed a tidy sum off the top for himself. In the spring, when the home was finished, it looked spectacular. It was the signature home in the neighborhood, and the only thing that made the superintendent happier than how the project looked was the bottom line in his own personal bank account, which had grown by hundreds of thousands of dollars that winter, just from robbing his boss. When the elderly businessman owner arrived home from Florida that spring, he toured this home fit for a king, and he was ecstatic. The superintendent handed him the keys and thanked the boss for the privilege of working for him all these years. And then the owner did an unthinkable thing. He said to the superintendent, "You have been a trusted friend and a loyal partner in my business for all these years. You deserve a home like this." And he handed the man the keys. The wicked, he got what he deserved. He cheated, he lied, he stole. And the wicked are always with us. Now in Matthew 28, but if you want to read the whole thing about the tenant, it's interesting because God comes back and he expects fruit. And he expects us to give him glory, to do what he's given us, our gifts and talents to do, which right now is just preach the word. We have a space and time right now where we can preach. The most important thing is getting people to know the Lord, make sure where they're going. But in Matthew 8, we're living in very, very dangerous times. In Matthew 8:28, see if I got it right. Matthew 8:28. This is about Jesus, and he's coming to the other side. And here they met him, two possessed with what? Devils or demons coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. Now, if you underline that word, exceedingly fierce, it means perilous. There's only one other place that that word is found, perilous, is in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it likens it unto demonic times, demonic, exceedingly fierce, so that no man could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And when he said that unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine, what did they do? They ran violently. It kind of shows a little bit about these demons. This perilous, fierce times are violent. They ran violently down a steep place in the sea and perished in the waters. So here we see exceedingly fierce. The same word here in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word peril means great danger and risk. Perilous means exceedingly fierce, full of danger, great risk of harm, loss or injury, unsafe times shall come. And we are in the beginning of unsafe times. We're not at the end, but we are in the beginning. And as watchmen and people that pray, we need to see what God wants us to see. And we need to prepare people for what's coming. Because if you're just plugged into the television and the blue pill, you're plugged into the system of the world. Yeah. And you have to know that the system of the world and the Antichrist system is rising. And if you love the world and the things of this world, you're not operating in the things of the Spirit of God, because they're clashing. Mm-hmm. Kingdom is rising against what? Kingdom. So we want to share some of the things about the evil, because it says in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, evil men and seducers. What's a seducer? It's an imposter. They can imposter, they can pretend to be someone they're not. We're seeing, I've shared with you the last years and years and years about preachers that were imposters. They're probably not really preachers. They've been sent there to what? Water down, bring down Christianity. Well, imposters are in every area of life. They're in the political realm. They're in every single imposters and seducers. And what is it? Because why? They're wicked. People are wicked. If they don't have Jesus in their heart, and if they don't know the Lord, and they're out for greed, like this tenant was, this guy just wanted to take as much money as he could, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you don't have the Lord in your heart, and if you're being seduced by preachers that tell you have your best life now, all this, you're going to think that's the way of the Lord. But you're being going down a deceptive path by imposters. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So why are they doing it? Well, they got deceived, thinking this was the right path. And now they're deceiving others, but they're deceived and being deceived. They're an imposter, a person who pretends to be someone else, someone he is not, in order to deceive or mislead. They fake or they pretend. Now, there's a lot of people that are in religion that are pretenders, I believe. They're not really supposed to be there. They've been infiltrated in. There's also people in every realm of government that are pretenders, imposters, seducers, Hoya, lots of Hoya going on. So what are we are called to do in the end times? Discern. You're supposed to be discerning. You're supposed to be studying to show yourself approved. You need to know that we're in a system now that kingdom is dividing. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But our foundation is sure. We know the Lord. He gives us our peace, right? But if you're trusting in the world's systems, you're going to see it shake. And a lot of people are going to die of fear of the things that are coming on the earth. But in the church, the last many years, we've had lifestyle coaches and motivational speakers. Now, some people, maybe they're very well-meaning, and sometimes we need to be motivated. But God's called, there's quite a difference between a true minister and a motivational speaker, okay? Some are not too motivational, by the way. They call you to live success, your big dreams, how to have power to take positive action and feel better about yourself, a lot of self-help, things you can do. A lot of it's feeding your flesh. It's glorifying yourself. Pretenders in the pulpit, infiltrators in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's coming to the point where, just like in those perilous times, we're coming into some demonic times, perilous times. But motivational speaking, what is it? How can you tell the difference? Now we have all this visual, virtual, turn-on comedy clubs. I've been watching some so-called preachers. I cannot believe what they're doing. It's watering down things to such a point where, I mean, I'm just so grieved. It's like, these are pretenders. These are not believers trying to help people, give them the word. I don't know what they're doing. It's a new comedy show. But motivational speaking is man-centered, and it's people-pleasing. Preaching is Christ-centered, God-fearing, and it proclaims the gospel message of Christ's death, resurrection for our salvation, and how to live every day. Not by ourselves and how great, but it's dependent. It's dependent on Him. Motivational speaking tags on prayer at the end of a great how-to self-help message. Motivational speaking is light, it's fun, it's humorous, and it's entertaining. These churches now say it's worship experience. You come to church to have an experience. Preaching produces a holy awe of God and a deep respect for His word. Motivational churches, now it's visual churches, it's showtime. When the motivational celebrity steps up to the platform, we applaud him, we get all this excitement and hyperaction going. Preaching freely discusses heaven, hell, eternity, obedience, and separation from the world. You're not going to hear any of this in this motivational, lukewarm, whatever you call it, going on now. Motivational speaking is positive. Now, I like positive people. I don't like negative complaining, but this is to the point of not facing reality. It's faking reality. It's mystic. It's mysticism. But motivational speaking is positive. Decree and declare, get happy and reach your goals and get your own signs and wonders. And if you haven't reached the seventh or the third heaven yet, there's something wrong with you. I mean, you should be going out every day now and getting those signs and wonders, and what's the matter with you? Yeah. Boy, you just got to work a little harder, I guess. Preaching, if you're a preacher, it's considered salt. Motivational speaking is sugar. Tickle the ears. Tickle, tickle, tickle. If you're a true minister for the Lord, you're a signpost. Signpost to Him. If you're a motivational speaker, it's a signpost to yourself. Right. I was listening to these two guys discuss something the other day. They talk so much about themselves, I couldn't stand it. It's like, I thought we're supposed to preach about Christ. I mean, you have to give your testimonies every once in a while, but this is just how great I am, what I've accomplished, and what I... It's just like, seriously? Sugar. Preachers are signposts for God. Motivational speakers point to themselves. You fill in the blank. What are they pointing? Your next goal? Your next house? Your next what? What is that really now with what we're facing in life? What does any of that have to do with how to stand, how to trust God, how to believe God when people are afraid to go outside because things are burning up around them? Does any of the motivational speak, are you going to give yourself a pep talk today and just encourage yourself? No, you got to know the Bible. You got to know what the word says, that God's going to be with you. He's your shepherd. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. It's not this power that they tell you you have in yourself. And we're going to share a story at the end of that, of this, about why we need a shepherd, because sheep are not the smartest animals. Preachers teach what God says and prepares them. He's preparing us for the end times, right away when you get saved, you realize there's some trouble coming. The world's not going to like you. The motivational churches tell you how great you're going to be and how you can have great crowds. And it's like there's two different things going on here. Which one do you live in? So the preacher, the minister teaches you what God says and he prepares you to forgive. It's not easy to forgive people. We don't have a choice to hate. We aren't sitting here picking. We're all of the same blood. This whole thing is a setup, a bait to get people to divide and conquer and to fight ourselves. They want civil unrest. Who? The wicked. We're called to forgive, to seek the Lord's will, not be greedy, not be covetous, but we're called to prepare and to watch and pray. We should always be watching. Well, I don't like what I'm seeing. Did he say you're going to like what you see? He didn't say, well, shut your eyes when it gets too uncomfortable. No, we're called to watch and pray, watch and pray. The motivational speaker uses God to reach the goals of the people. You're saved now and God's going to do this for you. God's going to do that for you. They use God as a pawn to get what you want. False teaching.
Yes.
And most of us have been raised in false teaching for many years, but thank God we're coming out. Motivators or motivational, these type of speakers, they inspire with fads and movements. I want to warn you, coming up, a lot of devastation's coming, and there's coming a rise of a big, huge awakening. And you better make sure you know what you're awakening to. Preachers, 2 Timothy 3:16 said, all scripture is given by inspiration. Even when we know hard times are coming, we get inspired because we know God said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm with you. I'm going to strengthen you. I will help you. I will lead you. That's inspiring.
Yes.
But these motivational speakers won't acknowledge hard times are coming at all. I wonder what they're teaching right now. They don't believe in negativity. They don't believe the world's going to get worse. They believe in these supernatural revivals, which is, we know, coming, the one world religion, which is the Antichrist system. Remember, religion is a third of the New World Order. It's a third of it. It's not all of it. And it's being very quiet right now. But trust me, it's going to emerge. So all scripture is given by inspiration, not just a few scriptures that when we were learning, they just seemed to take out scriptures out of context and put them all together and leave out a whole bunch of things. And it left you with questions. Because they left people sick in the Bible. I thought no one ever got sick. And they'd take out scriptures and, well, Job just had unbelief. And they'd just take out certain things that would just make you kind of doubt the Bible and trust the motivational speaker. But remember, all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. We need to be corrected sometimes. Sometimes we need a Holy Ghost, ouch, hallelujah. Your attitude's wrong. Your tone was wrong. You're not treating people right. Yeah, we need that. And God, sometimes you just read it and he'll just kind of give you a little Holy Ghost spanking. And if you don't, you get arrogant, haughty, and nobody can talk to you. So we need it for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wow. There's a whole lot there. I want to talk a minute about wickedness. In Genesis 4:4, the Lord saw the wickedness of man. We're going way back to the beginning, aren't we? God saw the wickedness of man. We saw Cain kill Abel. Can you imagine? You're God and you want this wonderful earth, and all of a sudden the people you've given a free will, they choose wrong. They choose the wrong things. And he saw the great wickedness in man was great, the earth of the thoughts of his heart. He saw that these men, the thoughts of their heart was evil. Then in Genesis 6:5-13, it says, the earth was filled with violence. When Jesus described the events that will surround his second coming, he said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. What were they doing? They were running around, eating, playing, doing stuff. People carrying on without a thought of the judgment of God. They don't fear God. They don't think if they do something wrong that there's a consequence because nothing's happening right now. A very interesting psalm is Psalms 10. I don't think we'll get to it today. There's more thoughts about God, what God thinks about the wicked in that psalm than any other one I've ever seen. The wicked, it's always been around. God's always had trouble with the wicked. They're carrying on like there is no God. They don't seek God. They don't think he's going to punish them. They trust in their own riches. They trust in their wickedness. They trust in their secret plotting. It goes on and on. There's so many scriptures about the wicked. Noah spent years warning his friends and family and his neighbors. And you know, just a few were allowed in the ark because no one else would listen. How discouraging. And just think today, you try to tell people what's going on. People don't want to listen. Oh, everything's going to go back to normal. Things are not going to go back to normal. There is a shaking that's here. Yep. There is a shaking that God told us was coming. He told us, and we have to prepare for it. We need to prepare our family for it because you're going to be the ones people are going to come to when they start falling apart. So, Genesis 6:6, it was so wicked that the Lord regretted he made man. He regretted it. He wished he would have never, ever made man. Think of how wicked that was in Genesis 6:6. As evil reproduced, it kept on multiplying. Evil, the evil thoughts, evil deeds, all the violence. It reproduced and took over the world. The most merciful act God could do was to start over. Think of that. The most merciful thing God could perform was to start over. So God waited as Noah built the ark. People's hearts were hard and their ears were dull and no one repented. No one cared and no one sought God. To understand what the world was like in the days of Noah, we only need to watch the evening news. Starting to get very violent, starting to get very wicked. Remember, we're in the beginning of sorrows. And I want to encourage you as I share some of these things, we're in the beginning of sorrows. We're in the day that we have seen grown men cry. And as I was studying this a couple months ago, I'd heard that. You're going to see grown men cry. Well, when people's businesses were burnt down to the ground, I saw grown men cry. Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How was those days? Wickedness. The wickedness of man was great on the earth. And then I thought about the kings in the Bible, the Old Testament. Whenever they got power, that abuse of power, they got in there and they stopped serving God. Look at Solomon. God gave him everything, and then he turned away from God. Actually, a lot of the occults and secret societies use Solomon as their guy, you know. He turned away from God. God had given him everything, and all of a sudden, then he turns away from the Lord, what, does wicked things, starts worshiping all the gods of his wives. The wickedness of man was great on the earth. It's always been here. Even though sometimes they don't telecast it or tell a lot, you have to know behind the scenes, there's always been, Satan wants to exalt himself and be like God. He wants to be worshiped. So even though we haven't seen a lot of these things, there's a lot of darkness that's been in hiding. In these end times, the cover's coming off and the plans of the enemy's coming up. We're in a spiritual war. And remember, it's a war for people's souls. The main thing is we get people saved in this hour because it doesn't matter a lot of things, but what you do with Christ is very important. But the wickedness of man was, is, still is great on the earth. And in 1 Timothy 4:1-5, the end times, he said, one of the things we need to watch for, they're already bad, but that's really going to get bad in the end is seducing spirits to lead astray by flattering promises. And as I study Germany and all the things of how that fell and got sacked, I kept reading about how they were promised this and they were promised a great economy and they were promised this and all these flattering promises. And then when the preachers that didn't turn and go with the state, they were stories were made up about them and they were put down and they were sabotaged. They were persecuted in ways you wouldn't believe. So we've seen some of this in our history, but never thought we'd see some things now. Where are churches ever going to open? Are they limping to their funeral? Well, one thing I want to tell you, you can't kill a real church. The real church is not a building. We are the church. But we are to assemble. The Bible tells us assemble. Why? Because you get lonely by yourself. But now I really know what it means to have two or three gather. He's in the midst of us. It doesn't take a whole lot and he shows up. But we still need each other. But it says here, they're going to seduce by flattery. I see these people on TV and I'm so nauseated, I want to vomit. Oh, they're so fabulous. This group has done such a tremendous job. On and on and on about the flabbering. I would just, flabbering. new word. They flatter and blabber. It's like, just get to the point. I've never heard people talk for an hour and say nothing. And flatter and flatter. And, you know, the Bible says that God's given us a sound mind. That's why I don't watch some of these flabberers. Because one day they tell you one thing, and the next day they change their mind. One day they say you can't have a funeral, and you have to have bypassers in cars, and you don't get to see your loved ones. And the next minute you watch on TV huge gatherings where they can do it. This is called division, chaos, problem, reaction, solution, and we better wake up. There's so many agendas going on right now. It's amazing. But you got to watch the flattery, because as soon as they start flattering, and I remember this one preacher, he said, I know a lot of preachers and they've all talked to me about each other behind their backs. I could tell you right now stuff that this one said about that one and make you hate each other for life. And I thought, wow, that's in the ministry? Well, then I lived in the ministry for I was like, wow, is that true? Well, same with politicians. They act one way and then behind the scenes they go golfing. And they're related. They're in bloodlines together. Yeah. Remember, the Bible has bloodlines. Lucifer has bloodlines. It's amazing how he copies everything. But flattering. Just notice the flattering. You know, the flattering. And then in Daniel, it says they're going to be corrupt by flatteries, insincere, excessive praise, the deceptive, seducing spirits of the end times. Is what we need to watch for, because if you're going to listen and believe everything they tell you, who are they, the propaganda, the talking heads? If you believe, you are going to be so deceived. Now, I used to be one of the most deceived people in the world, because I came from Brainerd and I lived next door to the sheriff and we did everything pretty good. And I thought everybody was good. The sheriffs were good. The lawyers were good. Everybody was good. Then I realized there's an evil. You know, you can grow up real naive. Other people said, well, we grew up on the streets. They'd say, you need some street smarts. And then I ran around with some people that had street smarts, but I couldn't trust them either because they learned to lie because they lived in the streets. And you know what I mean? They were conditioned to be street smart and they could lie, cheat, looked really innocent. I was like, wow, I thought you guys were saved. You don't act any different than the world. Well, when pressure comes to pressure, you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, you got to watch deception. The deceiving, seducing spirits are so cunning and skilled, they deceive good people. Well, so-and-so said it. Our politician said it. It's got to be right. Hoya, you know my Hoya story, right? There are forces and influences that are increasing in the latter days. They were always bad. But yay, some of us get to see some things accumulating. Evil, the wicked. The devil doesn't force men against their will. He deceives them. He deceives you. You want to be great? Fall down and worship me. He told Jesus, right? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said, no, he wouldn't do it. But there's people that are actually deceived. They want riches. They want to do what he tells them to do. They follow the script, right? He didn't force them in the beginning, but people signed up for some things they didn't know was going to cost them so much. I can guarantee you that. God gives you a free will. Once you start serving the devil, guess what? There's wages, the wages of sin. There's wages. There's a payday coming. Turn around. So what did he do to Eve? He beguiled her through her subtlety. I'm going to share something here. Now, don't get mad at me if you don't agree. But it was something that I wrote last night, and then I kind of rewrote it this morning. Because everybody, we all don't agree on everything. And can we agree to say we aren't going to agree on everything? But I feel like this is what I need to do for our YouTube audience. We are being conditioned, manipulated, and programmed by a multitude of agendas, talking heads, and propaganda machines. By the news, by actors now, the actors that chime in, they become agents of the movements of some of these things that are going on. If you follow the world, if you're following the blue pill, if you're following the Matrix, then you're going to follow your favorite movie star right into the ditch. Because they're using these people now to promote messages, and you have to be aware. They're also using preachers. These preachers that I've talked to you about, they might be famous, but they're going to start pushing agendas. Now, even every commercial, you can't even sit down without a commercial telling you something over and over and over. Okay, so we're talking about talking heads, propaganda machines. They create a virus that's an invisible enemy. It's kind of like a war on terror. You never know where it is. It's a perfect enemy because you can't find it. You can't detect it, but you have it. Oh, it might have. Think about the perfect plan. It reminds me in Revelation 6, the war that the white horse is. She had a bow and a crown that went forth conquering, but there was no bow. There was no arrow. There was a bow, but no arrow. There was no. So create a perfect war so that there can be an overreach and take away our freedoms in every area of our life. And I don't know much about Revelations. I don't claim to be anything about anything. I'm just trying to obey God and do what I'm supposed to do. But I believe if this is the white horse, this is never going to go away. This crown and dominate is going to dominate our lives. It's going to dominate everything from here on in that we do. It's a dominating force. I could be wrong. It's just my opinion. But here again, create something that's an invisible enemy. You might have it. Well, if I don't have it and the government tells me I have it, they can come in and contact trace and take you out now. You need to study contact tracing. Like the war on terror, you never know where it is. Funny, we aren't hearing that right now, is it? Yeah. Place everyone around the world. Now listen, this is a world, this is a global movement. Place everyone around the world in quarantine and count the number of dead every few hours, every day, every news, every headline, every day, every news. You're being conditioned. One of my sisters, afraid to go outside. I mean, if you're going to be plugged into the television, I'd rather live in faith and be happy rather than living in fear every single day. If you're going to watch the news, this is what it does to you. It puts absolute fear in you. Every day, every hour, every news line, you have to know. Yeah. Close down all unessential businesses. Of course, you're told what is essential. Yeah. And that virus is so smart, it doesn't go certain places. Yeah. It's just so smart. Well, give us time. We got to figure this out. No, we're learning to figure you out. Yeah. Yeah, the wicked are plotting against the righteous, and they're plotting to take away more freedoms, and they're plotting like the Me Too movement. The women against the men, now they're plotting a race movement, a civil war, a civil unrest, which I've known about for years and didn't think we'd see that. It's just the beginning. Again, I want to stress, it's not the end. But you need to prepare not to get involved emotionally, mentally. Stand back and see the manipulation, and don't allow the devil to deceive you, to get you all riled up, to go in the flesh and do stupid things. Amen. This is what they want. This is what they want. Close down all essential, unessential business. Of course, they tell you what's essential or not. But that virus, it's so smart. But it focuses and flourishes when you sing, when you preach, when you get together of more than 10 people, it flourishes. But you can have a funeral for hundreds around the world, and it's, you know, oh, it might come now, the second wave. This might have just brought on the second wave. Do you know what? It might merge now because it's a we're being played, folks. Close down all essential, unessential businesses. Of course, you're told what's essential and what isn't. And no one stood up for the churches. I don't care what, how long it took. There's a new apostolic reformation going on, which we've been talking about. Remove all entertainment, parks, gyms, restaurants, sports, and churches. So what happens? People are depressed. You take away their livelihood. They take away, they're mad. So now you add the perfect storm. You add something else to fear, to torment, to uncertainty. You know, the Bible says God's given us a sound mind. If you're sick, you have a symptom. Because he told you you did. All of a sudden, the devil tells you you don't have a symptom. Think about this. God says he is simple. Stay simple concerning good and evil is very confusing. I all of a sudden don't know. Am I sick? Can I give it to you? I can't sing. I might spit on you. All of a sudden, our whole world has went into chaos by an invisible war. An invisible enemy. Yeah, and they sit and laugh. Yeah. They're sitting and laughing. They close it all down, remove all entertainment, sports, churches, and don't think you're going to get into these restaurants without giving them your name and your telephone number, because now they have facial recognition and they can also say if you've got the virus or not. This is going to get very, very serious in the next few years or months. Things are going fast. People are depressed. People are afraid. They're angry. And now they ignite hatred and riots. Perfect match. Use the race card. Yeah. Civil unrest. Empty the prisons because of the virus and fill the streets with criminals. Now, right away, that was a red flag. We knew something was up. Yeah. But when they started talking about the governors being in charge, I knew, because we've studied this years ago, that there's going to be the governors. And once they put those governing, just like they were in the Bible, the governors were in charge. When they start putting those governors in charge, there's coming a whole lot of change fast. And then you have your good governors, and then the bad governors, of course, they want Minnesota to go red. They're putting down all these. It's becoming political. And this is way higher than right and left. You have to understand this is going for the juggler for the United States. They want it divided. They divide the senators against the mayors, against this politician. Have you ever seen presidents almost curse the other person? I mean, back when we were when I was little, they had respect for each other. You might not like that party, but ever since this last 4 years, everything has gotten totally, you have to understand, we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And they want division, and they want us to divide from within. So let's get us fighting. Let's get us fighting each other. Let's get the women fighting against let's have the Me Too movement. Let's say all men are bad. That was part of this. Now we're going to have this bait war, and this and this and this. Don't play it. I'll pass. And this is what they're doing. Civil unrest. Empty the prisons because of the virus and fill the streets with criminals. Send in and pay agitation groups to vandalize and burn property. If you know Agenda 21, they do have areas they want to relocate people. They have the areas all plotted out. I don't know a lot about that. There's some of it I don't choose to, but I know they regroup. They purposely clear out certain areas. And they send them into smart cities. Send in and pay agitation groups. We saw where you could join up online. You can actually get paid to vandalize. And then you have a permit that you get bricks, rocks, and something else. Three things you can have. Can you believe this? Well, I knew about this years ago when they had the Republican convention years ago. One of my policeman friends was in charge of that. And he said, they send in rioters, agitation groups, to cause riots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way. That was years and years ago. I'm like, well, guess what they do? And then they stand down and let them happen. Did you notice there was a stand down period where things were allowed to burn?
Yeah, police.
Have you ever heard of what's happened in our day? Send in, pay agitation groups to vandalize and burn property. Use racial wars and make it go global.
Yes.
This is global now because the old world has to come down. The old world was peace. The old world was security. The old world was freedom. Our freedoms are being taken away. And we think we're rioting to do something. No, it's going to be another chain around the ankle. There's always what the people think they're getting and then what the agenda is. Remember, that's how the wicked operate. They give you something that sounds great, but really underneath there's a secret agenda that's always at work. Why? They want to destroy within. If somebody came and attacked without, they could rebuild. They could get back together again. They could rebuild. But if they can get us to fight and divide within, there is no way to come back. And that's why we can't fall. We can't fall for this and turn against our neighbors and turn against different races. We're all the same blood. We're all the blood of Jesus makes us all the same size. And is this world going to be fair? No, it's never going to be fair. We're never going to get certain things in this life because it's a different world. But there is a place we're going to go to where God's going to settle the score. And he's going to take care of the wicked. He said he is going to. Vengeance is mine. But they want us to destroy from within. Are we living in the Hunger Games? Now, I didn't watch the whole Hunger Games, but my son tells me and other people tell me. I just couldn't stand it. It was like this fight was fighting with this one, and this one was fighting with this one, so I kind of got the highlights. But are we living in the Hunger Games when the resistant leaders were the real enemies also? They were controlled opposition. And then remember, they brought in the soldiers called the peacekeepers. So guess what? Where this is going, the end game, is martial law. Where they will bring in the United Nations, the peacekeepers. And remember, there is no peace. They keep talking about peace and liberty and security. And I shared with you last week, safety. Oh, it's for your safety. Well, now the next lie is going to be for your security. For your security, as they take more. Now let me close with this. This is a real news story. And I just want to close to encourage us all. We need a shepherd. In this day, don't be following man. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of stuff you can't trust. There's a lot of people that are very emotional right now. Let them, they got to vent. Love them anyway. Some people I just deleted. I'm just like, I'm not even going to go for that. I'm just done. But God will show you what to do. But this is a real news story that happened in eastern Turkey. It's near Iran. And there was a bunch of sheep. One sheep wandered off a cliff, and 1,499 followed along. Can you picture it? 1,500 sheep, each walking off a cliff, one after the other. Soon, they were piled so deep, the ones on the bottom were crushed to death. The shepherds neglected the flock because they were eating breakfast and they left the sheep to roam free. It's a true story. The loss was estimated at $74,000 of the sheep that died. Well, that reminds me of us. Somebody does something, we're going to go do this, and everybody else just follows. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. All of a sudden, you got a huge crowd of people following. They don't know where they're going or why they're doing it, but they're sheep. And they're dumb sheep. That's why God says you need a shepherd. So it's sad, but the shepherd neglected the sheep. It was a bad shepherd. They were just letting them roam. So, you know, the sheep. But we have a good shepherd. Unfortunately, we have a lot of bad under shepherds. We have a lot of false teachers. We have a lot of false preachers that are in it for the wrong. And this is another thing I perceive that they're going to do, because these wicked people love to build up Christianity and tear it down. They'll put one of their infiltrators in, cause a scandal. See, don't follow them. See, they're all bad. More scandals are going to come. More scandals are going to be pinned. This is part of the greater good of getting rid of Christianity, because it has to go. You know, they don't want any followers as they raise up their new one world religion. So don't be deceived. Don't be dumb. Don't be following sheep that don't know where they're going. They're not listening. They're not following. They're not being led by the Lord. They're being led by the blue pill, the TV. I can just tell the people that watch the TV. They all say the same thing. And every channel says the same thing. So sheep had a good shepherd, or they just followed each other into a ditch. This was a 45-foot ravine that they fell into. People are falling into ditches today. Sheep are dumb and directionless and defenseless. So when God says we're sheep that need a shepherd, it's really not a compliment. Oh, you great sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I need him. I humble myself. I'm thankful. He stoops down to lead us. But it takes a humble people to want to be led. So I just want to encourage you, don't follow the talking heads. Don't follow all the propaganda. Don't follow for the fads and the movements that are coming. Stay true. Remember, narrow is the way, and few be that find it. Don't expect the masses to be following the real voice in this hour. Remember Noah, as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wickedness, violence, perilous times, but God saved Noah in the ark. Yeah. Amen? And we're like Noah. We're going to follow him. We're not going to follow the masses. Don't be moved. But it's also a day of terror. I believe that these fires, we've heard predictions of fires and things increasing. We need to pray. We need to pray that God exposes these people, these groups, these agitation groups, and the people that are paying for them. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. You lead, you guide us, you direct us. We know we cannot do it in our own strength. That's why we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We ask you to help us not be deceived. Keep us from deception. There's so much out there. It's an epic day of deception. Keep us, Lord, really, truly united with you. Not this false unity they want, but the true unity of the Spirit of the Lord in your protection. Everyone said, in Jesus' name.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.